Curiouser and Curiouser, a look back at a very strange week for Wall Street.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, when we take a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts its trading day. It's been a very strange and mixed week on Wall Street. We'll go down the economic rabbit hole in a minute. But first, let's take a look at the markets. Where's Wall Street? The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up about 4 points, just a hair to 10,143. The NASDAQ up 3 points, a tenth of a percent to 2178. The S&P 500 up a hair as well to 1071. The markets have had a very good week. At the same time, we've gotten some mixed news about retail sales, jobs, and other things. Here to help us figure everything out is Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial in New York. He joins us live, as he does most Fridays. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Chris, the markets have had a great week. Why are they up so much?
Well, that's right. A 5% rally this week. It's in 3 days, no less. It's odd. We had almost no data this week, and actually that might be part of the thing. We've seen weaker than expected numbers
ignorance
in May
bliss.
And June. And yeah, exactly. But, you know, I think the other thing is we've been obsessed with this idea of a double-dip recession. And now with earnings season coming, people are starting to read what the analysts have to say. And it boils down to this. Slowdown, yes. Recession, no. So profits are still there. Earnings are still there.
Why do we say no recession? I ask because yesterday the International Monetary Fund came out saying that growth this year was going to be stronger than expected. Growth next year was going to slow down.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that's happening right now is we're transitioning from what economists call the recovery to an expansion. Now, what that means is that you've got the engine of growth that comes from things like consumer spending and business orders. On top of that, we've also had inventory restocking, which gives you, well, it's like a turbo on top of growth. But it's temporary. And now that inventories are getting close to where retailers want them to be, that inventory restocking slows, and you always have a slowdown about a year into a recovery. We're getting to that point right now where inventories are contributing less, but you still have the underlying growth in spending and orders.
So, Chris, the markets have been up. What about the economy? How is it doing?
Well, it's slowing down, but it's not slowing dramatically. And I think a good example, we just recently had some ISM manufacturing numbers went from 65 to 60. To put that into perspective, that's from a level consistent with 4 to 4.5% GDP growth. We've fallen back to a level consistent with 3.5 to 4. Again, it's slower, but it's not bad.
Our Friday man, Chris Lowe with FTN Financial in New York. Have a great weekend, Chris.
You too, Stacey.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, protecting online privacy by monitoring the web and removing your personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com/market. And by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
A report out this morning in the New York Times says wealthy Americans are more likely to walk away from their homes. Here to talk about this with us is our own Nancy Marshall Genzer. She joins us live from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Stacey.
So, Nancy, lifestyles of the rich and delinquent. Where is this data
yes.
coming from?
Pretty sad. Well, the New York Times sorted through a bunch of housing data from CoreLogic. CoreLogic is a firm that analyzes real estate. And here's the conclusion. More than one in seven homeowners with loans over $1 million is seriously delinquent. And that means they've missed three payments in a row. That compares with only about one in 12 homeowners who owe less than $1 million. Basically, that's the rest of us.
Do we have any idea why wealthy Americans are defaulting more than the rest of us?
Well, some of these delinquent mortgages are for investment homes that the borrower doesn't actually live in. Maybe they rent out the house or use it as a vacation home. It's, of course, a lot easier to walk away if you're not losing the roof over your head. And I talked about this with Greg McBride, and he's a senior financial analyst at Bankrate.com.
a lot of these properties were purchased with little or no money down. Borrower didn't have any skin in the game. When the price drops 30, 40, 50%, they're more inclined than ever to walk away.
Nancy, is there anything the government can do to stop them?
No, there's not a lot the government can do, unfortunately. In fact, the Times report says the rich are actually less susceptible to tactics used by the government and banks to shame them into paying their mortgages.
Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. Thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Google says it can legally operate its search engine in China again. So just to recap, first, Google pulled its search engine out of China. Then it reapplied for and got its internet license to stay online in China. Confused? From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong helps us make sense of it all.
Why would China want the company to stay after all the theatrics? Some speculate regulators think Google's good for China. The company brings good jobs and know-how. Shanghai attorney Greg Pilarowski.
They do have research and development facilities here. That is something that China has always been very interested in encouraging from foreign technology companies.
This week, Google's largely blank China site added new icons for music and shopping and an internet license number. Internet marketing consultant Lonnie Hodge thinks young people would cheer. They've had a taste of Google, and when they use the alternative Chinese search site,
they know when they go that maybe the whole front page of a search result is going to be nonsense. It's going to be stuff that somebody paid for.
Should Google stay, China's emerging internet market is 400 million people so far. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, Facebook is closing its virtual gift shop next month. It was the social networking site's first online store. You could buy a little picture of a birthday cake or a rose and send it to one of your friends. The graphics cost a dollar each. Facebook had said the gift shop was part of a plan to become a major player in the virtual goods industry. Apparently, that didn't happen. I would post a little sad face on my Facebook page, but there is no way I'm paying a dollar for that. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.